Do you want to learn interesting psychological information in an easy, straightforward, and entertaining manner? Then you need to listen to The Shrink Is In, a podcast show produced and hosted by Dr. Howard Gurr. Dr. Gurr is a practicing licensed psychologist for more than 25 years in New York State, and now he is available to you on the internet. Now, here's Dr. Howard Gurr.
Hey, it's Dr. Howard Gurr with another psychological podcast, and today it's just me. But I want to talk about the 9/11 attacks because I really believe it's not over. And unfortunately, we have data to suggest I might be right. After the 9/11 attacks, there was some clear signs that people who were immediately involved with the cleanup and rescue were going to have stress reactions. But interestingly enough, the trauma from 9/11 was much more widespread than that. And in 2001, there was a study that was performed by the RAND Group, which is a nonprofit organization. And they published the results in the New England Journal of Medicine in the November 2001 issue. And what they did was they called up a sample of 560 adults and asked them about their reactions to the terrorist attacks and the perceptions of their children's reactions. And the results of the study indicated that 44% of the adults reported one or more substantial symptoms of stress. 90% of adults had at least one stress-related symptom to some degree. People throughout the country had similar reactions. 35% of children had one or more stress symptoms. 47% of children were worried about their own or their loved one's safety. 84% of parents reported that they or other adults in the household had talked to their children about the attacks for an hour or more. 34% restricted their children's television viewing. The study also examined how Americans were coping with these stress reactions. The most frequent coping mechanisms included talking with others, about 98%, turning to religion, 90%, group activity, 60%, and making donations, 36%. So the summary of the study indicated that a vast majority of Americans suffered increased stress-related symptoms after the catastrophic events. Now, these people weren't geographically even near the event, and they had reactions. And so what it points to is that people who were not even related to the event, didn't know anybody, they had an immediate stress reaction. Unfortunately, that's not the end of the emotional trauma from the 9/11 attacks. And I'm going to read the diagnostic criteria for the post-traumatic stress disorder, which is an emotional problem when someone is experienced or is connected to a traumatic event. And this is the DSM-4, which we use to diagnose patients. And I'll give you the breakdown here. So to meet the criteria for post-traumatic stress disorder, there are, let's see, A, B, C, D, E, actually F, E, F kind of categories you have to fill. And I'll give you the categories. A is the person has been exposed to a traumatic event in which both of the following are present. The person experienced, witnessed, or was confronted with an event or events that involved actual or threatened death or serious injury or a threat to the physical integrity of self or others. And two, the person's response involved intense fear, helplessness, or horror. All right. The B section. The traumatic event is persistently re-experienced in one or more of the following ways. One, recurrent and intrusive distressing recollections of the event, including images, thoughts, or perceptions. Two, recurrent distressing dreams of the event. Three, acting or feeling as if the traumatic event were recurring, includes a sense of reliving the experience, illusions, hallucinations, dissociative flashback episodes, including those that occur on awakening or when intoxicated. Four, intense psychological distress at exposure to internal or external cues that symbolize or resemble an aspect of the traumatic event. And five, physiological reactivity on exposure to or external cues that symbolize or resemble an aspect of the traumatic event. C section, persistent avoidance of stimuli associated with the trauma and numbing of general responsiveness. Now, I need three or more of the following seven, and here they are. Number one, efforts to avoid thoughts, feelings, or conversations associated with the trauma. 2, efforts to avoid activity, places, or people that arouse recollections of the trauma. 3, inability to recall an important aspect of the trauma. 4, markedly diminished interest or participation in significant activities. 5, feelings of detachment or estrangement from others. 6, restricted range of affect. 7, sense of foreshortened future. And the D part, persistent symptoms of increased arousal, not present before the trauma, as indicated by 2 or more of the following. And there are 5. 1, difficulty falling or staying asleep. 2, irritability or outbursts of anger. 3, difficulty concentrating. 4, hypervigilance. And 5, exaggerated startle response. The E section, duration of the disturbance is more than a month. And F, the disturbance causes clinical significant distress or impairment in social, occupational, or other important areas of functioning. Now, that's what the diagnosis of post-traumatic stress disorder. And interestingly enough, a subsequent study that looked at the people who lived in Lower Manhattan indicated that 1 out of 8 Lower Manhattan residents had signs of post-traumatic stress disorder 2 to 3 years after 9/11. Now, this study was based upon surveys of 11,000 residents through the World Trade Center Health Registry. And they measured the long-term effect and found that 12.6% were having post-traumatic stress disorder. More women than men, 14.6 to 10.1%. More divorced, 21.5 to married, 9.5. And that's because they assume that the divorced people didn't have the same social supports as the married people did. The white population, 10.7%. African American, 20.6. Hispanic, 24.7. Asians, 8.9%. College graduate, 11.1%, and then other variables based upon income. But overall, 12.6% of the residents, 2 to 3 years later, were having symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder. And so what that suggests is that the effects of 9/11 are not over. Even though the building might be down, or the buildings, I should say, might be down, and new construction is going to go up, and it's all going to look very pretty, the bottom line is that the psychological effects, the residual psychological effects, are clearly still present and probably will be present for years and years to come. And this population of people, this 12.6% of just the residents of that one area, represent a huge increase in people who would need psychological services. And of course, you know, we had multiple attacks that day and multiple places where people were traumatized. So I'm assuming that this is representative of trauma in other parts of the country. And I just suggest that as psychologists, we have to be aware that this population of people will be around and that trauma will show up years later. And if there's a secondary trauma, this population, and any population, by the way, who have lived through the original trauma, might have PTSD after a second event. It's my experience, having dealt with some of the people who were at 9/11 had PTSD, or who were related to people who were killed in 9/11 and had PTSD, was that there was a trauma somewhere else in their life that either they did not properly address or it was just too catastrophic, and they buried it. But when they got exposed to this second major trauma, their coping systems broke down. So the people who are identified here, this 12.6%, may have had some early trauma somewhere that they didn't address, but the other percentage of the population, the larger percent, have already had a trauma, and if there's a secondary trauma, I imagine that population would have a higher percentage of people who would develop PTSD just because they've been traumatized multiple times. Anyway, just to reiterate the point that 9/11, the event is over, but the trauma is not. And there is strong indications that residual psychological issues are still present. Lastly, I would like to point out if anyone has lived through a traumatic event and is experiencing any of the symptoms I described in the diagnostic breakdown of post-traumatic stress disorder, I suggest strongly that you seek psychological help, find a psychologist who deals with PTSD wherever you are, and get rid of the symptoms as soon as you can, because it'll improve the quality of your life significantly. Also, if anyone has any comments or suggestions for the show, please, please email me at drgurr, drgurr, at podomatic.com. I appreciate it. Until next time, this is Dr. Howard Gurr.
You have been listening to The Shrink Is In, and your host has been Dr. Howard Gurr. If you want to learn more about Dr. Gurr, go to his website at www.drsgurr.com.